Welcome back, my friend. I would say that I was worried you would not return, but I know that you cannot resist my stories. But regardless, I am glad you are back. Now, where were we? Ah yes, Sigrithr had gotten herself into quite the predicament last time, being captured by the cultist Falche. Will she escape? Will there be a daring rescue? Listen and find out.
You awake Sigrithr into a dank, dark room. You are tied to a chair. It seems rather firm. You give a little bit at the ropes that are tied around your arms and legs and feel that you are securely bound. It is not anything flimsy, even though the rest of the room looks dismal and in disarray and a little bit rotting. In front of you stands a man with a mask covering his face. He is in a green cloak and has just stated that you are under judgment by the cultist Falche. Sigritha, you have been found or accused of murder of multiple members of this society. How do you plead?
How do you define murder?
Did you kill someone?
Can I just say props to your very Bill Clinton answer there?
I did not have murder relations with the gravedigger.
If that is your definition, then yes. I did kill some people.
Excellent. That makes this much easier. We will jump right to the execution.
However, I would ask, what do you know about the people that we killed? Actually, let me rephrase that, because I don't want to implicate anyone else, which they obviously know, but... I said we, and I wanted to say I.
You want
to
give them our social security number, too? Jeez.
Right.
You see someone on a typewriter in the corner, hitting backspace.
Right.
I, not we.
However, what do you know about the people that I killed?
We know that the law is that no one is to be killed. Murder is not condoned within the city, and whether they deserved it or not, you are not the law.
So all of their extortion and everything else that they were doing was entirely legal and within the bounds of the law. They're just free to do whatever they wanted to do and make life in town miserable for everyone.
We are solving problems as we find them. It is not easy to catch someone in extortion in the same way it is easy to catch someone who was surrounded by, you see him pull out a small book, 23 dead bodies. That does make it a little bit easier. However, we are a fair and just institution working on restoring order to the city. So, though I think you deserve death, we have means to make sure that to prove that you are actually guilty and that you are not just mistaken. But with you confessing, this is only really going to go one way. So he pulls out a hefty, large book. Think of the really big Bibles they use like on Easter Sundays, which is, you know, bigger than your head. He pulls out this book, and it's very brown and musty and has yellowed pages. He puts it on a table in front of you, which you could easily reach out and touch if you weren't tied to this chair. He opens it, flips to a page, or starts looking through. And how do you spell your last name? Is it E or A?
It begins with an E.
All right, thank you. That will save a little bit of time.
She does a little curse under her breath in Vestin. So something along the lines of effing Southerners.
The Deccan Southland.
Right, yeah.
If I untie one of your arms, will you promise not to punch me or escape?
Oh, come on.
Well, that pause kind of answers that, doesn't it?
Wait, would you believe me even if I did promise?
Well,
he flips through his notes.
So it says here that you are dedicated to honor, and it would not be honorable to lie to someone.
That is a fair point. I also have a feline that is bothering me right now. Hi, bud. What are you doing?
Don't worry. We feed that cat will be fed to our falcons later. All right, so I don't really trust you. I like to ask, you know, sometimes people are actually nice and think they're actually innocent, but usually when they confess, you know, they kind of know what's happening. So he puts the book on your lap. Book of Virtue is... how do you say your last name, Vinny?
Eirik's daughter.
Is Sigrithr Eirik's daughter guilty of murder? You see it start to glow a little bit red. Is she beyond redemption? Has guilt completely soaked her soul in a way that no penance can be enough? And at this, you see it burst a bright red glowing. Well, it seems like that is that. It is time to move to the next part of this. And he takes the book off your lap and closes it and walks out of the room. Back in the street are the three of you, and Catalina, and Adriana, and anyone else you really want to be there. Friar Lewis, I think, is also there disguised as Magnus. Well, actually, no, he's just a giant squid man now.
Yep.
So what did we see?
You see a lot of corpses.
And this, just, like, no Sigrithr where we're
there
expecting.
Is no Sigrithr where you are at. Lena.
Expecting to see.
Okay,
Sigrithr.
So where you guys left off, Catalina had given a speech with you and Nostre and Friar Lewis there. Lena, Mark, and Victor had all ran off, presuming that Sigrithr was also going to run off with them, ran off and came back. And you guys are kind of, they have returned to that and are probably coming up to you.
So let me get this straight. Basically, we've come up to a scene where we could see that probably Sigrithr was and is just no longer there.
Yes.
So Nostroy, like, crouches down in the dirt and starts, like, rubbing his hands over various, like, marks and steps and goes,
"All right, guys, I have put together this story in my mind and I can replay it for you now exactly what happened here."
And he, like, clicks his fingers and makes, like, a little fiery Sigrithr.
"Obviously, what happened here was Sigrithr individually challenged 20 people to one-on-one duels, one after the other, right? You can tell by the fact that they are all dead, and Sigrithr is not dead in the pile of people. So she won, right? Which is great. But then, because the tracks are not here anymore, a giant bird," and then a giant, like, firebird flies down, "flew down, grabbed her. She killed that bird. That bird's dead."
"Where is the bird?"
"Made of fire. It disappears." And then, to celebrate what she has done, she leaves and goes and gets a drink. Well, in the tavern, she is waylaid. Probably by, I'm getting the feeling it was a vampire." And then, like, a vampire, like, big, what's the thing? What's the back thing on a vampire? You know, they always got them big things.
Cowl. Frill?
Cowl? Shroud? Big
cowl?
The big cowl thing. Big collar. Collar was the word I was looking for. Giant collar vampire comes up, bites her, right? So this is all happening in fire. But she kills that vampire, but now she is infected and must go into the woods to live alone as a vampire, eating nothing but squirrels. And you just see Sigrithr, like, chewing on squirrels. "I can tell all this just by looking. Just by this scene, I can tell all this."
Being honest, Nostroy, not your best work. Gotta say.
You see some children around him clapping.
"And that is why you should never let vampires bite you.
I mean, solid advice, but I don't think that's the moral of the story.
I think you might have taken a few too many creative liberties in this one."
"Yes, that."
"Like, I was there for a lot of this."
"Were there no did you see a giant bird get killed and then..."
"Nope."
As this, like, ends, I just imagine Nostroy doing, like, credits as, like, produced by Nostroy, based on a true story.
"Well, the kids love this story, so it's better than she got lost."
"So what did you see, Lena?"
"Well, we were fighting, and there was a large group of gravediggers all coming at us at once towards the end of the fight. Mark and Victor and I all got out of there, and I thought Siggy was following us. But based on all of this, I'm going to guess that she probably used a rune or something and did a lot more damage than I was expecting, frankly.
I can see that, yeah.
After that, I don't know. Because we were gone, and I don't know between us leaving, Siggy fighting all of these people, and you all coming up, what happened between that?
Are there any people around that seem like they've been loitering for a bit?
Sure. Well, you guys are also in charge. Yeah, there's some people loitering around.
Okay. I mean, Cormac's going to go over and ask somebody. Did you see Vestin woman here earlier fighting everyone in the brother? Describes Sigurdur.
Yes. Was that the woman who was carried away by the remaining gravediggers?
Excuse me? Maybe tell me a bit more about this.
There were, 30 gravediggers. She cut her way through.
Sounds like Sigurdur, yeah.
Most of it. Yep. It was very terrifying. She was screaming and yelling and doing lots of horrible things to these men with blades. Honestly, I don't think I'm sleeping ever again. It was like a whirlwind of just metal going here and there. But then someone got a lucky shot in, and then they drug her away around the corner, and I wasn't going to poke my nose out and mess with the gravediggers. So.
Oh, for sure. So, gravediggers, though, she just got overwhelmed by the amounts. They just kept coming.
I mean, she looks like at the pile of corpses. There were a lot of them, yeah.
All right. Which way did they go?
She points direction.
Thank you very much. Do I have any candy from our shop on me?
You tell me.
Okay.
Would you bring candy on a mission with you?
Sure. I think Cormac gets snacky. He'll give them some candy.
All right. They are happy.
So, apparently Sigurdur got dragged off that way, and he points by the gravediggers. She cut down these folks, and more kept coming, and they've taken her somewhere in that direction.
Do you guys head off in that direction?
Oh, I think so.
All right. So you guys start trooping off in this direction. Make me a perception check, one of you. Or whatever perception is in this game.
Notice.
I did not open my character sheet. Give me 1 second.
You're making groups of 10.
Except I think I'm still technically an 11.
You're technically an 11 still.
Wow, Zach, just calling my wife an 11 on recording.
I was gonna make that joke too, but you beat me to it.
I have 1 set of 10. It's not great.
Excellent. So you spend time looking for signs. You would think it'd be easy to follow a trail of someone who's been beaten and drugged through the street, but they went on main roads, so they are very packed dirt. There isn't a lot to go on. Sigurdur does not seem to be bleeding a lot, so it's like you can't even follow a blood trail as easily as you think you should be able to. But eventually you're able to, you get to a point where you think this is where the trail ends, and there's nothing around.
Okay.
Adriana is there with you, and she glances around and pokes a few things. Oh, this is not good. This is a drop-off for the Cultus Felce.
Who?
Depending on who you ask, the biggest pricks in the city. They have appointed themselves jury, judge, and executioner, with an emphasis on the executioner.
Sounds like hoot.
I mean, that's one word for it, I guess.
Why would they involve themselves with the gravediggers?
So this is a reporting station for them, where anyone can report a crime and they will see to it. My guess is that the gravedigger said this person murdered a bunch of us and dropped her off, and the Cultus Felce took her in.
where they will give her a trial, see if she is guilty, and then give her an execution. She did kill a lot of people, so it's probably going to just be execution, if we're being honest.
So how do we break her out, then?
Well, I don't know.
Is this like a public execution?
Oh,
like,
no.
In front of the people?
No. This is not that kind of thing. This is trial by night. They have... So, you have to understand, the Duke's Rebellion and the Gravediggers, the Cultus Falchae, we're not friends. We have fought a lot. We have killed a lot of each other. We don't know how they work. Everything is hearsay, but I can tell you what I know.
You said that this is a drop-off point. Do they have a headquarters?
Somewhere. They are clandestine, kind of like us. Like, we have a headquarters, but it kind of does move around. So I could not tell you where it is. So what they do is they typically, from what we understand, they have some mean of sussing out if you're guilty or not.
All right.
Some magic means.
Oh, okay.
Some say it's like a book that glows when you are guilty. The problem with them is everyone's guilty.
All right.
But they don't agree with murder.
Hang on a second. So this book, it shows that you are guilty?
Yes.
Does it show what you're guilty of?
Honestly, I don't know. I've not been caught by them, and I plan on keeping it that way.
Time out, hang on. I just realized something really cool in this moment. Friends, we need this book. We need this book, and then we need to put it on fake Catalina, and it might say that she is guilty of being an imposter. Huh?
That is not a bad idea.
Do it in public, get her to, you know, admit to it, the whole thing. And then maybe we can also find out who she is and why.
Assuming it's not just, it just doesn't say guilty, you know?
That would be a lame book. Hopefully it is not a lame book. I am getting a thought from God that I maybe shouldn't call this lame book lame. It's a really cool book.
No, you're right. No, you're fine. I'm not mad at you calling it a lame book. I'm like, it glows red. Pretty cool, right?
Either way, even if it does glow red, then what we will do is we will get it. We will put fake Catalina's hand on it. It will glow red. We will put real Catalina's hand on it, and then we will make it appear to glow green or something, you know? Or just, like, have a sound happen that just goes, she's real! You know, if this book is magic, we can cheat, you know, so.
I like how the plan is, find a book that can prove people's guilt without a doubt. Lie about said book.
Exactly.
We're not putting our hands on it.
But you don't want me to put my hand on it, it's really bad.
So once they do the whole song and dance with the book, then what?
It gets worse. So flipping back to Sigrithr, you are still tied in the chair, but you are being dragged along a corridor. Is there anything you'd like to do before stuff happens, Siggy?
How tightly bound are my hands?
Very.
Okay. Do I have, like... Do I still have all of my...
You do not have your
weapons. And armor and any of that?
Nope.
Been taken? Okay.
I like the idea that they tied you to the chair with just two knives in your hands, but you can't move your hands. So they're just there to tempt you.
You're just like, there.
That would be brutal.
I will let you know. I'm not going to just straight up murder you, Vinny.
Oh, I know.
All right. So they drag you through another darkened hallway, and you end in a medium-sized subterranean room. They have said nothing to you. These guards are dressed exactly the same. They have a mask covering their entire face.
What does the mask look like?
Completely blank. It's just a...
Just like white or black or...
Whatever color floats your fancy. It's like there's no features on it. It's just a completely featureless mask.
Okay.
Black. It is a completely black void mask.
Okay.
They bring you to the edge of a pit and tip the chair over and then cut you free as you flop. You flop far enough to not be injured, but also not be able to jump slash climb your way out. You can decide how many feet that is.
Okay.
I would say probably 10 to 15. It is not a thing you can jump out of or climb out of with any amount of ease. And as you gain your bearings, a sword is chucked right in front of you and lands blade into the dirt.
She'll kind of look up in the direction of where the sword came from.
You just see people standing around watching. And you look around, you are in a cylindrical chamber. It is just dirt walls on the side. There is no way up. There is no entrance or exit other than the ceiling you just came, or lack of ceiling you just came in through. And you see around the edge all these members of the Cultus Falce. They're all dressed in the black mask and a green cowl. When you see one walk up and jump, take off his cloak thing, take off his mask and jump in. You look and see this grizzled old man. He is covered in scars. He looks old and broken, but still muscular. And he has a falcon burned onto his right side of his face. The falcon glows a little bit with a shimmer of blue, but not enough to really give any light. And then another sword plonks down right in front of him. What do you do?
I will wait to see what he does.
All right, he waits a moment and then picks up the sword and starts advancing on you.
Okay, yeah, she'll pick up the sword.
All right, are you going to attack him or are you just trying to block for right now?
Just blocking, just defending.
Make me a roll to block.
That still be like brawn weaponry?
Works for me.
Okay.
And you get plus one because it's your first time using weaponry this fight.
Do I still have all of my, like, injury marks from before?
You have all of your critical injuries.
Fantastic. That gives me another extra die. Anyway, I can reroll a single die. So let's reroll this one. That is four raises with none left over.
All right. Oh, I should roll two, honestly. Let's see how well this guy's doing.
Yeah, and while you're figuring that out, I do also want to say, I want to make a point that I'm not trying to attack. I'm just trying to defend, because so far, this man in front of me hasn't done anything to me, so I have no reason to attack him.
All right, so he comes at you, sword raised, and with how he looks, you were thinking that he would be a little bit easier of a target. You know, he looks old, he looks like he seems himself, but you're like, with age comes a certain amount of frailty. And then he has you on your back foot immediately. The blows that are coming are all killing blows, and you're barely deflecting them aside as he just comes at you relentlessly. You don't take any damage, but he is pushing you back towards the wall.
Okay. So I'm just thinking of how do I respond to this? Okay, I think at this point she will, like, start trying more to attack back, but not trying to kill him. More like trying to disarm him, trying to stop him from attacking, kind of thing.
Oh, alrighty. Make me a roll.
Would that still be brawn, or would that be more finesse?
I would say if you're trying to disarm him, it's finesse.
Darn, why did I say anything? Okay. Hey, that's a 10, and that explodes since I'm so injured. I rolled a lot of high... Well, I mean, I can't complain. I rolled like 3 9s and an 8, but that means I don't... don't have things that pair with them.
Right.
Feel wasted. That's still 4 raises with no dice left over.
All right, you are able to do... So you're able to fend off his attack continuing. You start taking the upper hand, and you are able to fling his sword away. Let me see what he rolls. Because this is kind of like an opposed challenge. He is actually able to meet you blow for blow. He is holding his own in a way that not many opponents have against you ever, let alone recently. You are one of the best fighters in the world at this point, at least in your estimation. And this grizzled old man is just kind of winning, or at least tying you, which is not something anyone has done in years. He goes on the offensive again, tired of you blocking his blows. He starts doing some fancy swordplay aimed at your head, and then immediately starts kicking you, like, in shins and, like, stomping on your feet, trying to throw you off.
That is rude. I guess she'll go even more offensive. This time actually, like, trying to attack him back, because it looks like he is not going to let up.
He might have motivations that you don't know about.
I know. You'd think with as many dice I'm rolling, I'd roll more tens, but apparently not. That is four raises again.
Oh, gosh, we both keep rolling four raises. Laws of averages are terrible. All
right. Right.
So you are able to fend off his attack once again, blocking, dodging. He is not in a bad spot. Roll again.
Before this next roll, she's going to kind of call over to him, or like kind of during the blows. So is this the execution? Is that what's happening right now? Is that you're supposed to kill me and that counts as the execution? Does he respond?
He does not. And now that you take a second to breathe, now that you've gotten your bearings and you're in the flow of the fight, you notice that the crowd around you is completely silent. All of the members of the Cultus Falce are just watching. As far as you can tell, there aren't really eyes in the mask. But they all seem to be looking down, not moving, not making a sound, not cheering, not shuffling, in a way that a crowd never is, and it is a little unnerving.
Okay, guess I keep attacking. I need some tens if I'm going to get four raises again.
Gosh.
I'm so close to getting like a fifth raise if like a couple of my dice are a little higher.
All right, this time you are able to land a few glancing blows on him. He does not seem like he is very wounded, but to speed this along so we're not just rolling four raises for the next 45 minutes, roll me one more check.
One more of the same?
One more of the same. And I'm going to use this to extrapolate how it goes.
Oh, that looks bad. Uh-oh. This time it is only three raises with two dice left over.
Oof. Sure, I'll buy one off of you to give you one for later.
I don't remember where to mark that.
As your hero points. How many hero points are you supposed to start with?
I don't remember.
Four seems too high. I want to say it's one, but I could be wrong. We'll do that for now. So this is a battle of attrition. Neither of you has a skill advantage on the other, but this man fights dirty. He throws dirt at you. He kicks you. When he tries to lock you in headlocks, when given the opportunity, when you try to do the same, he bites you. Nothing seems clean. Nothing seems fair.
Is this Goku? Am I fighting Goku right now?
No, you're fighting a very mean man. Everything he does, he uses every advantage he has to him. And he does a lot of damage to you. Luckily, you are very good at what you do and are able to score some clean hits early on, and those cuts that you hit him with to begin with take their toll. He is slowly bleeding out of them, so he has a timer in a way that you do not to begin with, and you are able to leverage that to your advantage to a point where you are able to defeat him, and he is no longer able to stand. You see one figure, since they're all in the ring, it looks like one figure steps forward, but it's really the rest of them stepping back, and you hear a voice. Please finish attributing justice to him.
Attributing justice? I don't want to kill this man. Why would I kill this man?
This man is a convicted murderer, and it is time that he pays his final debt to society by being removed from it.
So you're going to have me do your execution for you, is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
She sticks the sword in the ground.
No worries, that is okay. And you see just an arrow from the darkness come and just shoot him in the head.
She picks the sword right back up and turns to where the arrow came from.
So you are on alert. This arrow came out of nowhere in the darkness, and you're searching all around when you feel a slight sting at your neck. And you're like, that won't stop, and then you topple over unconscious in the dirt. So, the problem with them is they send the guilty to pit fight each other?
Oh, well, Sigurður's got that in the bag.
Well, I mean, yes and no. Like, Sigurður won't have any of her weapons. And the person that she fights is the oldest Colchis Falche recruit. And by oldest, I mean longest been there. And you don't stay alive in the Colchis Falche by being bad at fighting.
Fair, but I have confidence in Sigurður. I think it'll be fine.
Cut to her falling over.
Hang on, so you're telling me if I get captured by the Cultist Felche, I have to not die in a pit fight against an old man?
I mean, it might not be an old man, it might be the oldest member who's been there the longest.
The oldest man. Is he also unarmed?
I mean, as far as I know.
Do they neutralize magic?
Do I look like someone who's been in this pit fight?
Kind of.
I don't have a falcon on my face, never been in the pit fight.
Just saying, I think I would have a decided edge in this one. Okay, so I think we can assume that Sigurður is probably killing someone in the Cultist Felche right now. So I guess we just wait for her to get done with that, and then...
Yeah, what happens if you win?
Well, it's not just an execution. It's an execution if you lose. If you win, it's initiation.
Like, she becomes... Part of the Cultist Falche?
Wait a minute. So we might have an in with the Cultist Falche then.
I don't think that's a good... You should not be phrasing that as like a win, I don't think.
Well, not necessarily, but you know it doesn't hurt to have a mole in there.
What if Sigurður then becomes a mole in us? On us? I don't like either way that I phrase that.
No, okay, I don't think she's going to be a double agent. I think she would be the R person in there. Like what we just did with Friar Lewis.
I don't like when people do my thing to me, you know what I mean? Like, they kind of now have a member in our group. It goes both ways, you know?
Well, yeah, but we could control the information that's coming in and out of there then if we have someone.
That is actually not the bad. Now I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, we could kind of use them as a hit squad if we are just like, we got reports of a lot of debauchery happening at this exact address at this exact time, you know, and just let Sigurður tell them that, and then, you know, let them fight.
That could be useful.
Yeah, I mean, this problem sort of solves itself.
I mean, you're not wrong.
What do you have to do as part of the Cultist Falche? What's that look like?
Well, you're now an arbiter of justice in the city, and you are expected to do that.
That kind of feels like what we've been trying to do anyway.
That's also exactly what Sigurður does to me all of the time. Don't steal wagons. Don't threaten innocent people. Blah, blah, blah.
Some of that's not bad, you know?
See, but the thing isn't don't steal wagons, blah, blah, blah. It's don't steal wagons, and when you do that... They cut off your arm. Immediately. It's not a slap on the wrist, it's you have no wrist.
I am not 100% certain I can't regrow an arm. Just saying.
I mean, it'll probably be a firearm.
Want to test that theory?
Don't. That's not an invite.
I mean, I got the sword right here.
I will burn you. And then lose an arm.
But you are curious, though. Nostra, you are curious.
What are you doing? Don't do this to me. This is how I cut off a pinky when I get drunk one night.
I know, I'm waiting.
No, stop it. Don't ever... Look, I am in my right mind right now, under no influence of a crowd or substance. If I ask you to cut off my pinky, don't! Don't cut off my pinky.
Think of how cool of a trick it would be. Think of how cool of a trick it would be on stage to regrow a pinky. He could cut off beforehand and then just regrow it on stage.
I'm never...
Make you famous!
I'm never one to stop talking about myself. But...
Oh, we know.
Sigurður. So, basically, Sigurður will have to kill us immediately for all of the crimes we are definitely going to continue doing.
Is this, like, magically compelled to arbit this justice, or... How does that work?
Flipping back to Sigurður. You guys give me good cliffhangers.
Good. That was the intention.
You guys are doing great. 10 out of 10. Would recommend you guys to other groups, but you can't leave me. You're mine. Sigurthur, you're once again tied down. This time to a table.
Good.
So, welcome to the Cultus Falce. You are part of the group now.
So I don't think I understand. I guess I failed to be executed, so now I'm one of you?
Yes, we are all guilty here. Not one of us deserves our life. We have forfeited by our actions, but the Cultus Falce has given us a second life. That of an undeath, more so. We are ready to die, and we all await our death in the pit, or in defense of justice. But we have to wait. And while we wait, we make the city better and restore order here. To be fully inducted, which you do not have a choice for, we need to give you the mark of the falcon. And you see him pull out a brand of a falcon.
Where was the brand on the other dude?
On his face.
Oh, good.
Looks pretty cool, though.
It's a cool-looking falcon. I imagine it as a perched falcon, just in case anyone was wondering. It's not like a spread-wing falcon. It's just falcon sitting there.
That's boring.
They're not meant to be cool. They're the bad guys. They're not
the baddies.
They're not happy about their lives. They're not trying to be like, cool, we're edgy. They're like, no, you need a mark that signifies you as one of us. So this man comes over and brands the right side of your face with a falcon.
Oh, good.
As it burns, it doesn't burn in the way you've been burned before. You've lived with Nostra long enough that you know what fire feels like. And it doesn't feel the same. It feels more of a magical sort. It feels that it is more being imprinted on you, and it's still painful, but not in the way that you're going to blister and scab and burn. It is more just pressing into you and doing a lot of pain, as you know that the shining blue glimmer that this man had before was not a cosmetic thing and was the magic of this brand that is sealed on your face. You are now marked as one of us. Are there any questions? I know you probably think we are deplorable and evil, but there is a lot of good we do in the city.
Well, if I'm entirely honest, I don't necessarily disagree with your goals, maybe just your MO.
We are following the law, to the letter. Grace is afforded to those in peace. We are at war. We are in unrest. The city is dying, and we need to kill the disease that it is in it. And as he's saying this, he unstraps you from the table.
So am I, like, confined here? Am I, like, have to stay in whatever area this is, or...?
You are not. There, you are free to go. We trust our members to seek out justice on their own, because you are already dead. And if you betray us, if you act against us, if you do not carry out justice, we will not hesitate to kill you. You have had your chance to start paying penance to the city, and if you do not do that, we know that you are truly not worth anything, and we will kill you. And while you are a very good fighter, Sigurthur, you can't kill all of us. And we don't fight fair.
Yeah, I noticed. I might have to learn a few of those tricks.
We will be happy to teach you, and we do not attack without honor, so you do not have to be worried about that. We only hurt those who are guilty.
One more question. This mark, will that make me an immediate pariah if I go outside? Is that why you guys wear the masks?
It depends on where you are. The Duke's Rebellion does not particularly care for us, and the Duelist Guild we have a middling relationship with, because they're kind of being hired as personal guards at the moment, but otherwise you should be fine. And in certain areas of the city, you will not be a pariah, but you will be celebrated.
Well, hopefully that nobody takes too unkindly to the mark that is now on my face. I do intend to do good, like, try to make the city better. We'll see if it lines with what your goals are.
For your sake, I hope it does. And he leaves the room, and you notice, sitting against the wall, is all of your items.
Hooray.
And on top of them is a green cloak and a black mask.
She will actually put on the cloak and mask as she leaves. Actually, I guess that's something I probably would have asked him as well, is like, is wearing the cloak and mask also, is that
he's not here, but like, I know it is a symbol, not a compulsion. And in case it wasn't clear, you're not compelled to do any of this. It's more the threat of these people view you.
Do this or we'll kill you.
Right. Like, they don't view you at, they view you on death row, not as someone who has rights.
Gotcha.
Like, you are guilty of murder. They are staying that because they need murderers to kill the murderers kind of idea. But no, you do not have to wear the mask or the cloak. It is a symbol and will get you into certain areas. You know, it's recognizable. People know who the Cultus Falchae are. You're not you're not an unknown organization, even if you are shrouded in mystery and the like.
Yeah, so she'll take it. I guess she won't put it on immediately. Is there like a... Can I just leave?
Yep, you can just leave.
There's just a door in this room.
Yeah, there's a door, and they're like... Easily enough, you can find your way out of this building. There's a nice glowing red exit sign.
Yeah, I guess she leaves. Where in the city is she?
She is in a district you have not been in before. Okay, you are getting your bearings. It takes you a little bit, but you've been a guard here for a good portion of your life. You used to know the city map pretty well. You are on the opposite side of town compared to where you usually are. And especially compared to the Vagabond Bog Tavern, where the Duke's Rebellion meets.
Okay. I think I would should start to make her way back to the bakery, candy shop, whatever it was. I don't remember what we had.
All right. It will take you a decent time to get back, but you are able to easily enough make it back.
How long do I think... Do I have any concept of how long it's been since the fight at the Gravediggers?
Gravediggers was morning, right? Yeah, it was morning. It is probably evening.
So it's the same day?
Same. Well, as far as you know.
Okay.
But yes, it's the same day.
Because she was also unconscious multiple times in that period.
Yeah, it's the same day as far as you know. But yeah, it's the same day. I don't need you to be missing for like a week.
Right.
It was a really long fight.
Switching back to you guys a little bit earlier. Well, not compelled exactly, but I don't know. We don't really have a lot of people that go through it and make it out. Like, we are more scrappy and use our small numbers to advantages. We do not have great fighters. And Cultus Falchae has some pretty good fighters.
Well, if anybody's a good fighter from us, it's Siggy. And me, but I, you know, wanted to give her the credit, so...
That's a good thing, though, because you think you're better than her, and that's good. So when she comes and she says, we're guilty of treason and you all need to die, you can kill her. This is great... For all of us.
No, we're not killing each other. We're friends. We're going to continue.
Everyone
that
says
relationship.
That until there's a bird on your face and you come and kill your best friend.
I want to be very clear. I'm not.
Did this happen to you?
I don't have to answer that.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. But I want to be clear. I'm not friends with all of you. Definitely would say some of you.
We know.
Yeah, that's what you said to Seamus. Is that it?
I still feel a little bit bad about that, but I think you should be more mad.
Good, you should!
At Magdalena for not listing you as our best fighter.
I am the best fighter. I don't know what you're talking about.
I bet I could beat you.
Okay, then you have to drop your magic.
No, not that's no.
That's cheating.
No. It's not cheating, it's winning.
No, it's cheating.
I could beat you by sneaking into your room and just stabbing you while you're asleep. This is how I win most of my fights.
That's cheating. All of what you're talking about is cheating.
Cheating and winning. They do this. They do like this.
Actually, I think I like Nostre better. You can stab Sigrithur in the middle of the night as long as she doesn't immediately want to kill us.
I have heard she does not sleep. She just lays with her eyes open, waiting for a challenge.
You have lived with this woman for the past 5 years? 3 years? And you don't know if she sleeps, you're just going on rumor. That's it?
She definitely sleeps.
Have you seen all of your friends asleep before? Like, every single friend?
I didn't live on a boat for 3 years.
How do you know I lived on a boat for years? I've never told you this.
Do you have someone who introduces themselves every time they meet someone? It's not that hard to get information.
Do you introduce yourself as, "Hi, I'm Cormac O'Rourke, I live on the boat"?
So you have heard of him.
Which, Cormac, if you introduce yourself as being, "Hi, I'm Cormac O'Rourke, I live on the boat," that is why, you know, the women...
No, we were just making small talk about the last... I don't have a lot to talk about. I lived on a boat for 3 years. So yeah, it comes up.
Oh, well, anyway, I was just kind of trying to make a tall tale about Sigurdrud because I thought it would be cool, you know?
Now Sigurdrud's going to have all the stories about her, and like, what's left for Cormac? Nothing.
I've heard Cormac also sleeps with his eyes open, waiting for a challenger or...
Yeah. It's not as impressive when somebody else has already done it.
But do you do it on a boat?
Great. Anyway.
All right. Do you guys head back to the bakery eventually, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
No, I want to stay here and continue having this conversation.
I know you do. You'll be here until tomorrow having this conversation if I don't cut you off eventually. So you guys head back and inform Catalina. You go back to the... Four of you go back to the bakery. You three and Catalina. Friar Lewis stays back, pretending to be Magnus, getting the Gravedigger's Guild in order, trying not to be a priest while doing this. He has good success with that. He only talks about the prophet a little bit, you know? It's kind of, he's every so often, he's like, "Well, I don't know what to do with my life. Maybe I should look into religion."
Slow rolling it. Just planting the seeds.
Where can redemption be found in the world? You know, like, if only there was a book that could talk about the grace and redemption. Anyway, we seem to be making lots of profits off of all this grave digging, but we need to reform that.
What a segue. I love it.
As you guys wait and hope for the best for Sigurdr, you do some baking, you do some cleaning. Are you planning on keeping this as your base of operations? Or are you guys moving into the catacombs?
I'm definitely not moving into the catacombs.
Nope.
I was asking, you guys now have a new base. Option.
No.
Well,
Friar Lewis has a new base.
Catalina owns those catacombs. She took over.
I was gonna say, I think that, like, Catalina and Friar Lewis, like, they're, you know, that they're in the underground base, but we're up top where we can still interact with the people.
Yes.
So not a bad idea to keep it for now.
Okay. That is completely fine. I'm completely good with that.
I don't think it's a bad idea to keep it for now.
Yeah. I would say Catalina is moving around between, well, you also guys kind of had whatever the Duke's Rebellion had, so I think Catalina, out of safety and to be learn more about the city, is kind of moving around. She is not just staying in one place, is her intent, unless you guys are strongly opposed to that.
No, that makes sense.
And she does it in a more random way. It's not like she rotates through them, you know. She rolls a die, goes to whichever die face it says. So she's a little bit harder to pin down.
Can I just write a little bit of headcanon here? And I'm sorry this didn't come up before, but I just love this idea that she, like, becomes a masked vigilante, just appearing in random places, helping people as they need it. Catalina of the night.
The hard part is all the reports have the vigilante being someone else, so there isn't one vigilante, there's multiple. But this is just Catalina using the bracelet.
Oh, that's a fun idea. Yeah. I like that.
She does this with pretty good success. But she is using the bracelet. She does have public appearances, but she likes to move around, and she is not typically undisguised when she is around, because she knows that she is probably the most wanted person in the city.
Yup.
But that is in the future, in the next little bit. Currently, you guys wait as Sigurdr walks through the door as night is falling.
Sigurdr, you're back!
Yes, It's been a long day. We might have some new problems.
What happened to your face? I mean, it's cool. It's cool. It glows and stuff. I mean, but
Cormac, you can't just say that about someone.
I'm not going to ignore it.
Do you think she doesn't notice her own face?
I have a brand on my face that's new. That's appropriate to comment on it.
Like, right. That's what I'm saying. Sorry, but like, what happened?
Is it actually like a cool brand? Like, does it look cool?
It glows blue! Like, what else?
Zach, just, I want canonically this to be a really bad-looking bird. Like, it really looks like a little kid drew it with, like, a colored pencil. I mean, all squiggly and scratchy.
That's why I'm asking.
Oh, do we have a picture?
I'm looking to see if I can find what I'm imagining.
Well, Zach does that. Neostroy just walks up to Sigurthurd kind of, like, hesitantly and holds out his hand and goes,
I stole this acorn from somebody. It's not my acorn, and I took it with malice and intent. And then he holds out his pinky and goes, do you feel compelled to do something? Maybe?
Oh no, I think I have to kill you now, Nothroy, she says very mockingly.
It's the bottom one, but the top one I wanted everyone to see because it looks hilarious.
Okay, yeah, so decent line art. Okay. That glows blue.
Yeah, it's decent line art. It's not the coolest. It's not the coolest thing you've ever seen, but it's not the lamest thing either. It's not a bird with a very circular eye.
So I'm guessing based on Nostra's question there, you kind of already have an idea of what has happened to me. So you guys know of the Cultus Falce.
Adriana filled us in a little bit, but there's a lot of blanks, like what's with the book? And how did you survive?
That's the heck if I know. They put the book on my lap, it glowed, they said I was guilty. That's basically all I know.
It didn't, like, speak or anything?
No, it just glowed. Glowed red.
We're going to tell a better story about that book, I think, in the future, but we're also going to steal that book.
As best I understand it, I'm not compelled to do anything, but in their eyes and in, I guess, society's eyes, I'm already dead, and this is, like, I'm basically guilty, and I am in... Basically, death row, is that the best way to put it? And I'm supposed to go and be the justice in the world that apparently very literal by the letter of the law justice. And apparently if I don't, or if they think I'm working against them, they'll kill me.
Do you know a great deal about the law?
Yeah, hang on. This seems to be a problem with the Cultus Falce. Did they give you like a handbook?
Well, basically, as I understand it, they say they follow the letter of the law. So you read it with the most literal interpretation you can. You don't try to interpret it at all. You read the letter and you follow that, which seems like a very, very strict way to do it.
So as they ask you about this, you want to say, no, I don't know anything about the law, but they see the falcon glow a little bit, and you know every law that has been written that is currently in effect in Oratrios. Down to the letter, like, unambiguously. It's not like, I think I know it. You could recite every law exactly as it is written.
Did they notice the glow?
Do you guys notice the slight glow?
I don't know if I'd comment on it, but...
Why is your bird glowing?
Ooh, so shiny!
This is not something I knew earlier today, but I apparently now know all of the laws of Oratrios. This thing just glowed, didn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't imagine that, right?
Oh, it definitely did!
I want to play a fun game. What's the weirdest law in Oratrios?
Zach?
What do you mean, Zach?
I'm not doing it.
No, that's you, Vinny. That's all you, man. That's all you.
Zach's the one that burdened me with apparently knowing all the laws.
Improv, yes.
I burdened you with knowledge, yes. That is what librarians do. You're not allowed to wear a petticoat on the third Sunday after the Easter equivalent in public in the financial district.
Well, I need to make a mark in my calendar for a very specific thing I need to do on that day.
The punishment is being in the stockade for 3 hours.
With or without a petticoat?
Without the petticoat. It's against the law to wear the petticoat.
But what if the stockade's not in the financial district?
I mean, then you could wear the petticoat, I guess, but, you know.
Well, they're going to go to the nearest stockade, and that would probably, you know, I imagine every district has its own stockade for the occasional need to tomato a miscreant, you know.
There is one weird one that I'm thinking of. It is actually illegal to wear a mustache if you have a tendency to kiss people. Like, if you just, like, kiss everybody, you're not allowed to have a mustache.
Oh, well, Mark's in trouble.
Who's Mark? Wait, who's Mark?
He was the guy that I was working with Victor. Siggy met him. There was, like, our group up there.
Did he just randomly kiss, like,
No, he's like a flirt.
Oh.
Got it.
Would you say he's a better or worse flirt than Cormac or Rourke? Maybe you've heard of him.
At least you got the name right this time.
I mean, he did just keep, like, pulling roses out of places, so I guess that was attractive.
That's a pretty good move. I do that, but with fire.
You burn people with that one.
Is that force like of a stage magic?
Is that like a magic thing? No, Stroy, can you help me with that? Can I pull roses out of... pulling roses out of thin air?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I know a guy that did that all the time. Yeah, I got it down.
First, you have to find the witch in the woods and give up part of your soul to her.
That legitimately is one way to do it, but it's pretty all out just to magic flowers into existence. You can do that by lying.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer the more sleight of hand route, thanks. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a dumb law, though.
Well, now that they've seen that this brand has some magic, which I kind of already knew it was magic, but now that I've actually felt the magic effects, I'm a little concerned about what else it does.
Well, you know, keep us updated. I'm sure it's fine.
I was actually going to tell you guys to keep an eye on me in case I start acting weird.
Yeah, I'd be worried that, like, if someone committed a crime right in front of you, you'd, like, glow and launch into, like...
berserker mode or something.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it'd be really bad. Like, it'd be really bad if you tried to cut off my pinky for stealing an acorn. I would hate that if you did that when I wasn't expecting it, like, just randomly, probably in front of a crowd.
I think you're laying it on a little thick there.
Do you want me to cut off your pinky?
No, definitely not.
Is
Are you trying to prove something?
Is he talking about how he thinks it'll grow back again?
I don't know anymore what he's trying to do.
I just want that to be, like, on my wheel of misfortune, you know, like, as it keeps going. Like, one of them is, find out if that finger grows back.
It's one of those, it's like a Wheel of Fortune, it's like the $1 million slit, you know, where it's like a third of a slice, you know, and bankrupts on either side. Bleed outs on either side. Pinky grows back is in the middle.
It's bleed out, die of horrible medieval infection.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
But then, you know, in Wheel of Fortune, when you actually get that, you actually take that piece off the board and you also have to, like, solve the puzzle and win the game. So then there's, like, extra hurdles you have to go through even after he rolls that it grows back.
Exactly. You don't get to keep it grows back. It'll just be fire for a little bit. And if you win the game, then it will grow back in the epilogue. All right. And this is where we will end for now, with you all sitting, enjoying each other's company. After a harrowing experience and a successful capture of, or merger of, two factions.
Huzzah!
Hey Wanderers, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Corsairs of Castile. This game is being run in the 7th Sea 2nd Edition system. If you want to hear more content from the Wandering Gamer Network, you can check us out at the Wandering Gamer Network website. We stream on Twitch with the username wandering_gamers, and you can follow us on Twitter at @WGNPodcast. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. All information about the music used can be found in the episode description. Until next time, wherever you wander, may you find your way home.